Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless, gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I feel good.
Dad, are you singing to your cereal?
Come on, Ava. Silk almond milk starts the morning on a high note.
Silk almond milk.
With calcium, vitamins A, D, and E.
Feel plenty good.
I feel like I'm music down in here because we won, but I'm complaining about something normally. And so I won't complain about a red zone offense right now. But
how does Mike Leach celebrate a win like that? What are you going to be doing tonight to celebrate a big victory for you in this program?
I'm going to get on a bus, and I'm going to ride for 4 hours to Starkville, Mississippi.
Now, I mean, it wasn't pretty, but when that ball went through the uprights, it was one of the prettiest things I'd ever seen. We just beat LSU on the road. Go Hawks.
Yeah, great team win for us. Always good to keep the Mayor's Cup where it belongs in the city of Columbia. You like that? Could have gone to either Columbia.
Does it feel like bad performance in some ways? I mean,
thank you, Trent Grimm from The Independent right there.
No, but
I mean, that's a win.
I get Trent. It, Dan. I get it, Dan. But
you said it exactly. Chip, you answered it. 10-0, undefeated in the SEC. That's where we've gotten. It makes no guarantee for what's going to happen in the future. We got a lot of guys that we've got to try to get better and improve, and we got to tackle better. There's a lot of things we can work on to get better. And you know what I love is the men in that locker room over there beside me. They all know that, and nobody thinks they've arrived. There's things we can work on to get better at, and they'll continue to do it. But tonight, they went through a tough gauntlet in our league and played well.
Oh, welcome in to the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braddon. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. A little bit of an announcement here. We're going to be taking a little break from the show. We got two more coming this week, but then you're not going to get one until the early signing period, which really is only when this podcast hits 8 days out. But taking a little trip. Got to get away, little vacation here, going with the girl to visit her family for an early Christmas in the state of Utah. So hitting up Antarctica here, and as you're recording this, I'll already be there. But hey, I promised you guys that we'd get to Billy Napier in his introduction, had some good thoughts on that, got some bowl game lines to get to, a little bit of news and notes around the SEC. So couldn't leave town without giving you at least one more pod this week. And let's start right there with those betting lines for the bowl games. Now, on the last episode, I was able to give you the playoff betting lines because those were already out, but those remain the same. Alabama, 13.5 point favorite over Cincinnati Bearcats in the Cotton Bowl, I believe it is. And then Georgia, 7.5 point favorite over Michigan in the Orange Bowl. Again, those have been the lines since they came out, but hey, we got the lines for the rest of the games now. Texas A&M, 6-point favorite over Wake Forest. Got to think the Aggies, Cruz, they played a couple years ago in a bowl game, and I can't remember how that played out, but I think it was, I think the Aggies may have lost that one. Tennessee playing Purdue in the Music City Bowl, the Vols in Nashville, a 3-point favorite. Purdue actually opened as a 2.5-point favorite, but that thing has swung all the way in favor of Tennessee. South Carolina versus North Carolina in the Duke Mayo Bowl. The Tar Heels favored by 7.5 points. Mississippi State versus Texas Tech. The Mike Leach Bowl in playing in Memphis for the Liberty Bowl. Bulldogs, big favorite here, 8.5-point favorite. Missouri versus Army in the Armed Forces Bowl. I said this will be a tough matchup for the Tigers, and according to the betting odds, it will be. Army favored by 7.5. Missouri's going to have to bring it with that run defense if they stand a chance in this one. Florida versus Central Florida in the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa. The Gators favored by 7.5. And then we got Ole Miss, Baylor in the Sugar Bowl. The Rebels, it opened -2, but currently Rebels only -1. So nearly a pick 'em there in the Sugar Bowl. Looks like that's going to be a hell of a game. We got Auburn favored by 3 over Houston in, what is it, the Texas Bowl, I think is what they're, no, Birmingham Bowl. Auburn favored by 3 in the Birmingham Bowl. Home field advantage if any fans decide to show up. Arkansas, underdog to Penn State by 3 in the Outback Bowl. Kind of scratching my head trying to figure out how they came up with that one. Kentucky, favored by 2.5 against Iowa in the Citrus Bowl. Last time I checked, Iowa can't score a damn point. So if Kentucky gets a field goal in this game, they should cover that thing pretty easily. And then finally, LSU, Kansas State. This one, I think, is the Texas Bowl. Then Tigers just got Brian Kelly, and they got themselves a 3-point favorite in this football game. So there's, you got the updated lines for each and every SEC bowl game. And as I count them here, hell, only three SEC teams are underdogs in their bowl games. And that's about what it's going to be. It's going to be 10-3, 11-2, 12-1 type record for the SEC come bowl season. Just you wait for it. All right, but hey, the topic I really wanted to hit on this episode, let's kick it on down to Gainesville, where Billy Napier was introduced by Florida on Sunday. Now, of course, with the championship breakdown, all the bowls and everything, it was kind of just so much going on. Couldn't really get to this news, but I don't want the Gators to feel like Cousin Shane says that I hate them. So let's break down a little bit of what Billy Napier had to say here. And I came away impressed. Of course, it's hard to lose the opening press conference. Billy Napier certainly didn't do that. And, that's something he came right out of the gate hitting on recruiting. And when you hear about Billy Napier, the thing you hear time and time again, very detail-oriented. He thinks everything out before he does it. And that's, it's easy to just say that about someone. But again, this is a guy that could have taken the Auburn job. Probably could have taken South Carolina. Maybe could have taken Tennessee. I mean, there's many jobs, Mississippi State, considered Billy Napier in the past. Yet here he is, finally jumping at that chance to take the big job at the Power 5 level after leading Louisiana to 4 consecutive Sun Belt championship games. Just got a championship win here on Saturday over Appalachian State. So Billy Napier coming to correct the issues of the Dan Bulla era, and it starts first and foremost with recruiting. So let's kick it over to Billy Napier, who talks about that and his plan to recruit elite players there for the Gators.
Okay, you haven't been as a head coach at a place where like the real expectation was to land like the 5 stars, the high 4-star guys. Mm-hmm. Now it is the expectation. What is your plan there to be able to position Florida to compete with, guys like Kirby and Nick Saban, well?
Yeah, I think we've got to sign around 25 players a year, right? And I think that there's enough out there. I think the important part here is that we don't get consumed with the stars, 4-star, 5-star. I think it's going to be more about evaluation, right? We're going to go through a very thorough evaluation process. We're going to hire an army of people here. We're going to create an infrastructure, not only in the personnel department, but also from an on-campus recruiting, creative media, name, image, and likeness. We're going to create, we've got a great vision for the organization that we're going to create here. So we're the University of Florida, right? We've got a lot to sell here. And I think the timing is right. I think that the administration's willingness to invest in our vision and this organization that we're going to create, you combine that with the resources that they're providing to hire an exceptional staff. I think that the new facility is going to give us, an advantage that maybe we haven't had before here. And I think that our proximity to player is a direct advantage, right? So our ability to get these young men and their families on our campus. And then we do our job, right? I mean, if we can't sign 25 good players at the University of Florida, then you'll be looking for a new coach. So we're going to go, we've got a plan, and we're going to go execute our plan.
All right, now he's setting the bar pretty high. Of course, the early signing period is coming up here in just a week, like I said at the start of the show. And Billy Napier was asked about that, the plan, the Gators' plan for the early signing period. And I thought this was the best answer he gave in the entire press conference. And it's not necessarily, I think, something Florida fans are wanting to hear right now, but it's what they need to hear. So let's kick it over to Billy Napier on his plan for his Florida program heading into the early signing period.
And then talking about recruiting, how do you approach signing day coming up so quickly, or at least early signing day coming up so quickly, and then the integrity that you're showing, not taking everybody from UL, you have kind of a smaller staff here, so how do you go about just getting ready for early signing day?
So, yeah, that's a great question, right? And I think that's what we're in the middle of doing right now. You know, we put a lot of time and effort into that, thought into that. You know, I think our approach here, we're going to be very patient, you know. I know everybody wants to, you know, pedal to the metal here, you know, and go 100 miles an hour, but I think it's the most important thing that we do, right? I think the people that we get into the building, the staff, the players. So, you know, we're going to evaluate the situation a little bit this week, over the next 10 days or so, but you can expect us to be very conservative, very patient, try to position ourselves for post-signing day to evaluate all the players that are left over, all the players in the transfer portal. And then when we do have our entire staff and organization put together, position ourselves for some really strong weekends in January, and then try to close strong in February. But, you know, reality is, you know, you're getting in the game and there's like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, right? So, and I think the last thing we need to do here is, you know, make some mistakes. So, you know, we'll probably, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't sign many at all, to be honest with you. But there may be a few out there that are willing to jump in here in the last minute. But let me say this about that. I think that, you know, for me, I think it's important in recruiting that both sides understand each other, right, and have had time to build relationships, right, to have conversations, to know who's going to coach you, to fully understand what the plan is, right? So I think it goes both ways in that regard. I think it's an injustice to them and it's an injustice to us to all of a sudden just hurry up and elope here right at the last second, right? So, you know, we're going to be very patient, and I think, you know, we'll position ourselves for, you know, after this signing day's over, we'll go see what's left out there and do the very, very best job we can do.
All right, so Billy Napier, he knows good and well, you know, if he cannot recruit well enough, his ass is going to be gone, just like Dan Mullen. That's priority number one of his current position, is to recruit, get the talent level back where it needs to be in Gainesville for the Gators to compete for SEC and national championships, and it's going to come down to recruiting. And while he says that to start with, and then asked about this early signing period, you know, I thought this was a very intelligent way to go about it, because what he's doing is he's essentially cautioning the fans that, you know, this early signing period is not going to be a coup. We're not going to be flipping guys left and right, just got here. You know, hell, he's probably already behind on the 2023 class, and it's nothing against him, but it's just any first-year coach having to, especially when you go from a Louisiana to a Florida, he's not recruiting the same caliber of athletes at Louisiana that he's now going to be able to at Florida. So, you know, he's starting from ground zero in a lot of, you know, as he says here, we're getting into the game with 3 minutes left and, you know, they're down several touchdowns. So, no, they're not going to win, so to speak, here in the coming days. You try to get a couple kids to flip, but where you're really going to see progress is on National Signing Day with Billy Napier's Florida program. And that's the message you need to be sending out. And I love the fact that, you know, this is something that I hit on previously, but go back and look at the early signing period, when that was first introduced. If you go back and look at the coaches that aren't even around today at that? I know this offseason has been wild, but a lot of failures during that time. We're talking, I believe Chad Morris was one, Jeremy Pruitt, Willie Taggart at Florida State, obviously Dan Mullen at Florida. Those are just a couple of the examples that come to my mind, but it's basically half the Power 5 hires that came into play the first year of the early signing period. They've all been fired. Now, is that directly related to the early signing period? I don't know, but it's just so hard to get that first class together, and you could really, really make a mistake of just grabbing commits just to grab them to fill up your class when you're not sure who you're getting or what you're getting, or you don't know the player like you should when you're coming in recruiting. And that's exactly what Billy Napier's trying to hit at here. He's hitting at the bigger picture, where I'm not saying you want any losses in recruiting, but you can sustain them on the early signing period because you'd rather be a little conservative, I think, than just to pull athletes in here that may not be a good fit for your program, may not be a good fit for even the scheme you plan to run on offense and defense. So I like the fact that he's kind of setting the bar low for the early signing period, because in reality, it's probably too late for the Gators to make any massive gains here in a week's time on the recruiting trail. It's just very unrealistic.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Now, moving on to big picture stuff, I thought this was outstanding because, again, this goes back to what we all hear about Billy Napier and how calculated he is, and maybe why he didn't want to jump to some of these jobs. The investment of the program and the leadership and everyone at the school, where is that at? And according to Billy Napier and according to everything you hear behind the scenes, Florida is pushing in that direction, committed to everything that Billy Napier wants with his Florida program. So let's kick it over to him on the investment that Florida has committed to land Billy Napier.
And then you've said a couple different times that Florida showed a willingness to invest. Can you elaborate on that and why that was important to you and what specifically you needed to see?
Yeah, it's absolutely the most important part for me. I think in today's era, in this college football dynamic that we compete in, it's truly an organization, right? We're talking about a very specific plan and all these different areas that affect your ability to compete. And in this league, the proof's in the pudding, right? I think the two that played for the championship game last night are, there's evidence relative to the way that they've created their organization. So we're going to increase the manpower, if that makes sense. We're going to create very specific plans in personnel, recruiting, development, nutrition, strength and conditioning, sports science, the training room, name, image, and likeness, our journey program, which we're going to create from the ground up. We've got a very specific plan here. Their willingness to create those resources and put the finances that need to be in place to do that, right? So that combined with the salary pool, they were willing to do what we wanted to do. Can't compliment them enough for that.
Now, he didn't mention it here, but I'm hearing that Florida is going to add, he's talking about bringing an army here, 30 staffers, 30 new staffers, and that does not include the 10 assistants that he's going to hire full-time. So we're talking 40, and I don't think that counts analysts or GAs either. So, it takes a small village here to get this stuff moving in the right direction, and Billy Napier certainly seems to have an understanding of that. That's what they got in Athens and Tuscaloosa and many of these other College Station. I mean, they've got these people in place, and Florida, if they got any chance of turning this thing around under Billy Napier. He knows what it's going to take. He's seen it with his own eyes, and now he's demanding that they bring in here to Gainesville. And according to what Napier's got to say here, Scott Strickland has signed off on all this. So, again, I think that's great news if you're a Gator fan. Now, last little deal here. I thought this was kind of interesting. Billy Napier plans to call the plays down at Florida. Not that unusual. Hell, Dan Mullen was doing it. But two offensive line coaches. I never heard of this, but, yeah, Billy Napier kind of makes sense of it here. So I just thought this was pretty interesting.
Coach, have you decided if you're going to call plays or not, and how does that affect your offensive staff?
Yeah, I'll be calling the plays here. You know, I think it gives us an advantage, in my opinion. You know, we're one of the only teams in the entire country to have two offensive line coaches. We'll have an offensive line coach and an assistant offensive line coach. We will construct our staff on both sides of the ball and put a premium on the line of scrimmage. The offensive line, the defensive line, the edge players will be very important. And certainly when you're coaching offensive line, you got to coach five players. Nobody's got one coach coaching five DBs. I don't know why you wouldn't have two guys coaching the offensive line. So I'll coach the quarterbacks with help from an offensive analyst and then call the plays, and then we'll have that advantage of having two offensive line coaches.
All right. You know, another reason that this kind of jumped out to me is clearly Dan Mullen coaches the quarterbacks, or he did every stop of his coaching career. And now we got Emory Jones, if he returns, Anthony Richardson, and, you know, the commits coming in. And every quarterback on the roster down there in Gainesville, it's not going to be a massive change, I wouldn't think, because they go from Dan Mullen being their head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, to now Billy Napier filling all those roles. So, you know, it may not make a bigger difference at the end of the day, but it may smooth the adjustment here to where, you know, you're not having to go through position coaches and coordinators before you get to the head coach. It's all the same guy. That's what these Gator quarterbacks are used to. That's what Nick Ewers, I believe his name is, the touted recruit they got committed to come to Gainesville. That's what he's going to be expecting before he signed on to play for Dan Mullen. Now it's going to be Billy Napier, as long as they hold on to his commitment, and all indications are they will. But, hey, we're streamlining the process here. It's going to be the same as it was. And, again, I think that's good news for the Gators moving forward. And after this, this was all on Monday here, but Florida officially announced the hires of defensive coordinator Patrick Tooney. And interestingly, they gave him the co-defensive coordinator title. So they're going to be hiring another guy to be a co-defensive coordinator. They hired a strength coach who's also been named associate head coach, Mark Hokey. I'm not sure how to say it, but he worked with Billy Napier at Louisiana. And more importantly for SEC fans, this Hokey, he worked for Nick Saban 2009 to 2015. That was a hell of a run there in Tuscaloosa. He worked as Georgia's head strength coach in 2015. He's also worked at Texas A&M and FSU. So you're getting a guy that knows the lay of the land, knows what it takes to build elite athletes at this level. So, again, that looks like an interesting hire there. And according to what I've seen, Florida's remaining staff, Billy Napier has also, you know, we talked about his mega contract. I think he's the fourth or fifth highest paid coach in the SEC right now. Now he's going to have a salary pool of $7.5 million, and that is more than Georgia and only behind Alabama. So, I mean, his assistants, whoever they're going to hire, of course, we got Tooney in here already to be co-defensive coordinator, but the other nine assistants down there in Gainesville, we're going to be commanding top dollar here. And again, that's another big thumbs up. And that goes to what Billy Napier said about touting the commitment level that Florida is willing to make into his program to make him successful. So, hey, so far so good. I know it's early. Everybody loves a new coach and everybody thinks he's going to win every damn game. But hey, so far I'm loving what I'm hearing from the Billy Napier era, even though it's just begun. Now we'll see how he assembles his staff and how they do in recruiting down the stretch. And speaking of recruiting, Oklahoma's got a new coach, but they lost them a five-star recruit, Gabriel Brownlow Dindy.
I'm sure I butchered that name, but he's a five-star prospect, number 10 overall player in the country, has flipped his commitment from Oklahoma to Texas A&M. Huge news for the Aggies. Five-star prospect. He's the fourth five-star committed to Jimbo Fisher's A&M program right now. So again, Aggies are inching closer to the number one overall recruiting class. Would be the first time they've ever done that. And they've got several other five stars on the line trying to reel them in. And I'm not saying they're going to get them all, but they are favored for at least one more. And five-star offensive tackle Kelvin Banks just decommit from Oregon after Mario Cristobal jumped to Miami. And apparently he's going to be picking now between A&M and Texas, who many people have Banks as the number one offensive tackle in the country. So Jimbo Fisher says, come on down. And that's not even one of the five stars I was referencing till this happened on Monday. So who knows? I mean, big, big news here could be coming for the Aggies on the recruiting trail. Again, we're about a little over a week away from the start of the early signing period. So, man, it's truly a battle right now between Alabama, Georgia, and A&M for that number one recruiting class in the country. And then, hey, last thing on this, I got to cut this one pretty short, but last thing here, just want to give this guy a shout-out. Grant Morgan just won the 2020 Burlsworth Trophy given to the best player in the country that started his career as a walk-on. Morgan was a finalist for that award last season. And, of course, you know, I think it's got to mean a little bit more to Grant just given the fact that Brandon Burlsworth and his legacy there with the Arkansas Razorbacks. I think every walk-on down there in Fayetteville's got to have this dream in the back of their mind of being eventually the Brandon Burlsworth Award winner. Well, Grant Morgan got that done, came back as a super senior, just helped lead Sam Pittman and company to new heights there in Fayetteville. And now it's the culmination of all that. Grant Morgan came back to, you know, probably in the back of his mind wanted an award like this, but more of a team player than anything, wanted to see the team succeed. And now that the team has, he's getting rewarded individually. So you got to love that. The Burlsworth Trophy staying home in Fayetteville this season. All right, guys. So, that's all I got. And like I said, I'm hitting the road. So podcasts are going to be not hitting your inbox on a daily basis here. So apologize for that. But I do got one already scheduled for Wednesday as well. So you got one on Wednesday. And I'll be back for the early signing period to kind of dive deep into that. I'm going to try to reach out to a bunch of recruiting analysts and have them on after the early signing period to kind of dive into some of these prospects and things of that nature. So a lot to look forward to, but hey, I need a break too after daily shows here for the entire season. Hopefully not any new coaches hired or fired, even though there's speculation down there on the plains. The countdown is on. So if that happens, I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll try to work something up if something emergency happens. Hopefully it doesn't. But that's going to do it. Just want to say very appreciative to all the listeners out there for this season. And, hey, the best is yet to come. Just need to take a little break here. So I appreciate each and every one of you, and we'll catch you when I get back.